So you listen to this talk again? And? Slowly start understanding it? Not yet. Well, I want to at least to listen to the talk on the 26th of August as well. Next time tell me what you think about Kent's interaction.
There are a lot of other good ones.
Yeah, yes, of course there are. I mean, I don't know if they are good ones. The talks I like, normally.
On the Red Indian and all those things.
Huh?
That they were talking about Red Indian.
Yeah, yeah. About Mexico, the Aztecs, and so on.
Yeah, okay. You're driving at the one point, he's driving at the other point. Both different sides.
I'm not talking about the contents, When you listen to it, just look at the interaction.
The
when we hear only contents, And that's where we go wrong. I mean, we have to look at the intentions. We have to look at, the interaction. That's where we understand. I mean, we say so many things, but why do we say these things? I mean, do you make your mind up, before you say something? No. It just comes out. And you think whatever you say is right and true. Isn't it? But you never ask yourself, why do I say this? Why is it necessary for me to express this opinion? Yeah. Well, because we are educated this way. Everybody expects us, the moment we are in a group of two or three or more, everybody expects us to say something, no matter what it is. And that's why we feel very uncomfortable the moment, nobody says something. Huh? Anyway, why did Michael leave? I thought he wanted to stay a few days. Didn't say anything, he just left.
I think he said yesterday he only wanted to stay one night.
Maybe. And so how is your Buddha going?
I haven't developed the Buddha practice at all. I have a resistance to it.
Ah. I know.
To be honest.
Yes.
To be honest with you.
And why?
Because the initial way I learned meditation was not through the teacher, it's just the way my mind's been conditioned, really.
Yeah. I mean, in the practice, it's to uncondition the mind, isn't it?
But it seems that repetition of a mantra is just a new form of conditioning, and I have an aversion to it. And this is just talking, I know it's not the real thing.
I mean, repeating a mantra like the repetition of the word Buddha, how does it differ from, observing the breath at the tip of the nose? It doesn't matter, it doesn't differ at all.
Well,
I mean, we put our concentration on one thing. I mean, can I ask you a question? Do you want to become free from dukkha, or are you want to just stick with your thoughts and opinions and views? I mean, that are the ones who create the dukkha. I mean, the moment we open our eyes or open our ears, interpretation of what is out there comes into our mind, and that's what we think is real. And that's what it thinks it creates the dukkha. That is exactly, the views and opinions, that are the ones who are creating a lot of dukkha. I mean, if you don't have an opinion about pain, there's no dukkha. I mean, I want you to understand this clearly. Yeah? I mean, I see it, you know, I don't... It depends on what you want, you know. I leave you alone, but you would have a very hard time, you know, just staying here. Just because of the ditti. You understand ditti? Or conceit? Just of your views and opinions, because you're not really ready to take up new things. If you're not ready to take up new things, then you cannot experience new things. All what you can experience is what you have experienced in the past. I mean, did that lead to happiness? If that led to happiness, then you wouldn't probably be here. I mean, here we learn something. And from my... I mean, just reflecting about my own practice, huh? I came from the West, huh? Just like every one of you. I practiced meditation in the West for 6 years. And I thought I was very good. I can compare with all the other teachers that were there at that time. But the moment I came here, I instantly knew I have never actually practiced. All what I have done was playing around. And coming to a meditation master like Thanachan Mahabodhi, you know, I realized instantly, I have never ever, you know, just listening to one or two of his talks, I never ever actually practiced meditation. I just fooled around. I mean, that is from my experience. Huh? I mean, some of you who come from other teachers and stay here for a little while, maybe you have a similar experience. That the things, you know, that are taught here are very different from what is taught everywhere else. I mean, we teach, well, what is taught here is the way out of dukkha. I mean, if you don't want to get out of dukkha, you're okay. You know? You don't worry about all these. I mean, if you want to stay, you know, and be born and reborn all, you know, uncountable times, then it's up to you. I mean, if you come here to find the way out of dukkha, I mean, then I can guarantee you, you're here at the right place. But, of course, it is hard. It's very difficult. This I can promise you as well. And the one thing that makes the most difficulties is our conceit. We know better. This I don't need to do, this I don't need to do, this I don't like, that I don't like. I mean, that is just greed and hate. Plenty put. I mean, you have to succumb completely to the teacher or to the surrounding in order to gain everything. I mean, do you get the idea? If you want to get rid of dukkha, you have to get rid of self. Isn't it? If you get rid of self, what is left? So who can you rely on? Can you rely on your views and opinions to go on this path? No. Because that is actually, you know, going in the other direction, going in the direction of self. You have to completely drop all your views. And I told you yesterday a little bit, you know, Thanachan Mahabodhi always stepped on my toes here, whenever I did something wrong. Whenever I thought something wrong, the next moment he said something, this is wrong. I mean, if I would be, you know, just like conceited like I was before, I would never have been able to stay here for 14 years without any problems. And most of the Westerners didn't survive. I mean, they survived 3 months, maybe a year or 2 years or 3 years. That's it. Because it's certainly, like I said yesterday, it certainly comes one time, or sooner or later it comes down to the point where we think we are clever. We don't need to do this. And that's the end of our practice. That's where we get stuck. I mean, I advise you Buddha, you don't have to do Buddha, you know, if you want to do the breath at the tip of the nose, you know, just go ahead and do it. There's nothing much different. But just thinking about Buddha, you know, being a mantra, of course. A mantra is there to concentrate us. It's just like reciting some of the sutras. It's just also the same thing. I mean, it helps us concentrate. Very easily concentrate. And after we recite a sutra, you know, it makes us feel happy because of the contents of the sutra, and it makes us feel happy because we have been concentrated and no other thoughts have come in. I mean, if you understand the basic of practice and what it leads to, you know, then you know the moment you concentrate and no other thoughts and memories are coming in, you automatically will be happy and contented. There's no other way. If you have a shovel and dig, you know, some at the same place, you know, you will get a hole as a result. If you want it or not, the hole is the result of your work. But if you always dig at different places, you know, then there's no hole. Huh. I mean, if your mind jumps from one place to another, there will be no samadhi. But if it digs at the same place, and no matter how we do it, be it concentrated on the breath at the tip of the nose or being reciting Buddha, will lead us to the hole. As a byproduct of our effort will be samadhi. But the work will be the Buddha. Or the breath, you know, observing the breath. And once the Buddha is becoming installed in our mind and memory, and it repeats itself, then we observe it. Then we listen to it. Just like a chant in a cathedral. It's completely enchanting, I can promise you. It's amazing, you know, just listening to this word Buddha that we have installed. It's just like observing the breath. You know, once we know how to observe the breath closely, you know, it becomes so intriguing. Intriguous, you know, it becomes so fascinating, you know, just to observe the breath. It's the tip of the nose. There's nothing else, and nothing else will stop.
Father, what? You miss.
It's very difficult to understand because of the rain.
There's been walking up now. So I'm trying with the rain. I thought I got it.
Before you ask the question, can you try to make it short and very essential? You know, just ask the point of question.
Yeah. So what I do is that when I do my walking meditation, I look down.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But the awareness is at the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, for a couple of days, I'm able to come. When I watch a plant, you know, it's a pond. The center surrounding it is vibrating, but after mm-hmm. a long time, it was better. It's like that. That means it's still.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt very balanced in that pond.
Mm-hmm. Very what?
Balance.
Uh-huh.
Balance. Okay. I can only use that word. Mm-hmm.
But it's
very erratic because I use the method, it's not really work. So, today is
storm. It stopped.
Storm. Storm within, inside. But when I do the same focus, however, The heart is burning. I can feel the heat burning. That's why I am preferring now, even though it's cold outside. So, because in the past I mentioned to you that when I walk, I focus this way and it burns very so hey, there's something to you like. So I was reflecting. And then you know that I know, you know, because sometimes when I talk to people, I'm aware of the heart, so I use that method, you know. I look here, but I'm aware. So it doesn't burn. But today, I use a method. Today, I'm burnt. So what went wrong? I think that's fine. And because of that, I felt very imbalanced now, because there's a lot of vibration.
Yes. I mean, that's the moment we go wrong.
Oh, precisely. I heard the talk. And then, during the last 2 days, when it was like very balanced in the hand, because at first it's like all shaking, you know, the nucleus, but the center point is just at home. So they don't bother, just be patient.
Mm-hmm.
After some time, it just be here. Just one point, but just like very balanced. And then I could watch the thunder, you know. I could watch the shadow of the Sanya, Vedana, more clearly. But of course now not so long. So what went wrong? I do not know. Because I'm very sensitive, I could see the heat now. And once,
I mean, the answer is very simple. What went wrong?
Sorry?
The answer is very simple. What went wrong?
Yeah, what went wrong?
Our expectations went wrong. We didn't do the work anymore. We were expecting that the heart becomes balanced.
There's one thing that goes to pressure to
it. I mean, whatever there is, you know, there is. I mean, the practice is to concentrate on concentrate on the breath, or concentrate on the Buddha, or, you know, if you concentrate here in the heart. That is the practice. And the result, you know, will always differ. It's never the same. It will never be the same. So you're fooled by, you know, because now for a while it has been balanced, and today, you know, it's upset. I mean, you worry about this. You always worry about the results. You never worry about that you're not doing your work. I mean, if you just would worry about that you do not do your work, I mean, everything would be just fine. Anyway, but there was a warning, or there is a warning. I mean, if you go down to the heart, if you go down to the citta, you will experience a lot of problems. That's why I normally do not advise. I mean, all the problems are stored here. All the kilesas are stored here. I mean, if you just go there, you know, if you're not quiet enough, I mean, all these problems will come up. Much more powerful than if you are, you know, someplace else.
Oh.
So if it drops automatically there, it, you know, it gives a certain calmness, and then you drop to the right center. If you make it forced down there, you know, then it will be very, very depending on our state of meditation, it can be very unpleasant.
No, but I knew that something is not so right, but I don't know, because last night I had certain dreams. I think it's weird.
But just come closer.
It's very weird, you know, on like a dhamma. Okay, I don't have this sort of thing years ago. And people would say, what happened, you know? So I wanted to ask you this question. And then precisely this morning when I woke up, my routine is the same. And then I said, hey, it's wrong. But I said, I am not forcing, because the last time I was told you when I was back, I was watching, so it's like burning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now I like, I brought the awareness there. I said, it's the same awareness, but yet it's warm. So, I could be out of pocket even now. I'm very sure it's in my pocket. So, yeah. So, what should you do?
Important is the work.
Buddha.
Yeah, either the Buddha or the breath. I mean, I say, when you listen to talk, I mean, then you can go down into the center of the heart. That's okay. Because you want to really feel each word popping out of your own citta. That's when you listen to Dhamma, no? But even when you do other rites of passage, yeah? If you drop to the heart, it can be very unpleasant feeling. I mean, you have to be extremely calm, you know? Normally, it drops automatically down to the heart. But don't force it. If it's not at the heart level, you know, just don't worry. I mean, you worry about the effect, you know, and the effect, you should worry about the work. The work is simple. Just with it. If you listen to a talk, it's different, huh? I mean, there you can go directly to the heart, you know, and feel each word popping out here, pop, 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 the moment. It hasn't even entered the ear, but it has already entered the citta. So you will actually hear the moment I have my intention of saying the word, you know, you will know what kind of word it is. That's when you really listen. I mean, it's amazing, and you understand completely different than when you listen to the content. I mean, it's just half a millisecond before it comes into the ear. It first goes into the citta. And then it goes to the ear, and then it will be processed. So there is a timeline. So if you're mindful, if you're really aware of what is going on, you will see all these things. I mean, that is, we are going inside, you know? It's a whole new world. Just experience, you know? It's a world of experience. It's not a world of knowledge. And it's not a world of action. I mean, our effort, our determination leads us to the result of experience. I mean, that is the only thing that is real. Experience. I mean, I can think about, jumping in cold water and can get the feeling back how cold it is or how unpleasant it is. But it's very different, you know, from now jumping into the water. That's the experience. And then the rest is the memory. Okay, or I can be afraid of pain. Because I had some pain, you know, before. Somebody cut myself or I broke my leg or whatever. But the moment it happens, there's no pain. Only afterwards comes the pain. I really wonder where it's coming from, this pain. The moment it happens, there's no pain, huh? But the moment we think about it, there's instantly pain. Or we memorize, there's instantly pain.
I was
you know, make it short. Please make it short, because I have difficulties in understanding what you're trying to ask.
Yeah. The book though is very distinct.
What?
Okay. I mean, the book though is very distinct. I put book and dough is very distinct. It's separate things. But when here, I could not, even though I tried. And it's very, I could not even hear it, because when I back down, it was good, so it's very clear, it's the same and very clear, sharp. Now it's so light, it comes here, and the both of the two because it's so blurred. So I said, never mind, don't do that, it's good. So I guess I've got no choice, I have to really verbalize it. Before I do not have to
accept them. No. You don't have to verbalize it. But you not just do it, you know. Your concentration is not on. Or, it can happen, you know, when it becomes faint, that your concentration is good. But actually, it actually should be very clear there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My foot was very staying right here.
Yeah.
But now it's not. When I try to boot, I cannot even boot, you know.
Well, you know, find the troubles, you know. Find the troubles why it's not clear. I mean, there's a lot of background thinking probably going on.
Sorry?
There's a lot of background thinking going on.
You know, when I'm doing it, Ajahn, I'm very aware of the threefold of Khanda. So if there is initially when you are not aware, right? The sati is not strong. So...
Just experiment with it until Friday. I mean, today is not a good day to ask questions.
Sorry?
Today is not a good day to ask questions because of the rain, you know. Just missed it. I mean, the devas interfere. They don't want you to ask this question.
Think so?
It sounds, I don't ask the question, but I've been trying to visualize my body.
Yes.
And I can get feeling, I can feel my body, but I can't visualize, see it, mimic it, or something else.
Yeah.
And
don't worry, you know, you do it only for 2 or 3 days, huh?
Okay.
I mean, until an image came, I did it for 9 months. The moment after 3 days, you know, nothing, it doesn't bring results, you know, you change the subject. I mean, that is not determination. That is not persistence. That is not endurance.
Where is the difference between persistence and trying too hard?
I mean, you try to get an image. That is not right.
If I don't try to get an image, I get plenty of images, but none of them in my body.
Yes. That's why your mind is still someplace else. It just tells me that.
Okay.
I mean, try to put your concentration of the object, like for the skin, you know, just take that skin, huh? Put the object, you know, just skin, you know, and repeat skin until you see it. Don't try to, you know, to get an image.
I can see it.
Yeah, okay, that's good. You know, that's good. Yeah, just feel it more and more and more and deeper and deeper and deeper, you know, and it'll go down, you know, go down to the bones, huh? For the moment, just forget about the vision.
Okay.
But if you stick to the same object, you know, you will get a visual once in a while.
Okay.
Sooner or later, yeah?
Okay. No, because I find that...
I mean, you can have the visuals. If you have your medical book, you know, still in your brain, then you can get a visual of it.
Well,
then use that. And then you can use that, you know, when you observe or investigate an object, then use that visual image, huh? Until you get a real one.
Okay. I've got my best results when I don't expect anything and I'm not...
That's the same, you know, that for you, for both of us, it's the same.
Right.
You don't expect anything and then you get results.
Yeah.
The moment you expect a little bit thing, you know, your practice goes off. Yeah. I mean, if you just do the work, I mean, you know, I just do my Buddha, I'm not interested about anything else. When I get immediately, I immediately drop into samadhi.
Yeah.
Huh. But if I'm interested in going into samadhi, I never do it, you know. If I'm interested in getting a picture, you know, I don't get it. But if I just do my work, you know, that leads to this kind of result. I mean, I will get it very easily, without any problem.
I usually do the sitting meditation with my eyes closed.
Yes.
What if I do the sitting meditation with the gatefold book, with the word pictures in front of you, doing my
do it after the sitting meditation. And just for half an hour, you know, and just try it.
Okay. But with the Buddha, you know, in the back?
Yeah, but look at the pictures, you know. And when you look at the pictures, reflect, that's how I look, huh? That's strange, that's how I look, huh?
No, because that might be a good door.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's why these are super pictures out there. Or at the times of the Lord Buddha, you know, they went to cremation sites and to look at the rotting corpses. So, we have pictures? Okay, we can use pictures. But it's not as, you know, I mean, when you see a rotting animal, look at it, yeah? I mean, reflect, you know, you just built the same way. It has a nose, it has ears, you know, it has eyes, you know, it has lungs, it has a stomach. So what's the difference? All what you see is the outside. I mean, the whole disgusting thing is, you know, just covered up by a very thin piece of tissue. Yeah. I mean, you know, just imagine your girlfriend, you know, without the skin. I mean, you don't want to kiss her. Yeah.
You don't have to look very far to see the disgusting nature of the body.
I mean, just rip off the skin and you see really the disgusting nature.
I like to reflect that the skin here is actually dead already. Dead skin, it's not alive really. The skin by that was actually dead still. A layer of dead skin over the disgusting body.
I mean, whatever it is, you know, however you reflect, you know, as long as it is unpleasant, you know, then it's fine. I mean, investigation of the body, you know, is there to bring up unpleasant feelings. And to get rid of the view that this body is something nice and beautiful. It's not nice and beautiful. Whatever comes into contact with body, you know, turns into shit. I mean, the sweat, is it something that you like? The grease that comes out of your skin, is that something that you like to eat and put back into your mouth? The shit that comes out of your hole, you know, you like to put back into your mouth? Or the piss? But, you know, the food, you know, you always like to put in your mouth, huh? But the things that come out of this body, you don't like to put back into it. You find it disgusting. I mean, why do you wash your clothes? Because they stink and smell. And where is the stink and smell coming from? It's not from the nature. It's from your body. Do you ever reflected about this, huh? I mean, where is the dirt coming from? Where is the grease, the piss and the shit coming from? It's coming directly out of this soul, you know, holy body, that we call it holy body, you know, we don't want to touch it. Yeah.
It's me, it's me.
It's me, it's mine, you know, it gives me a lot of sense, it gives me a lot of pleasure. I mean, can you reflect how much pressure it gave you and how much dukkha it gave you? I mean, maybe 5 minutes of pleasure during a day and the 23 hours of dukkha. I mean, that's the truth. If you really reflect truthfully, you know, then you will feel it. I mean, most of the time it doesn't give us pleasure, this body. Most of the time it gives us dukkha. Now I'm hungry, now I'm thirsty, now I need to wash, now I need to walk, now I need to lay down, you know, all the time. Huh? Yeah, isn't it right? And where is the pleasure, you know? How many moments
nothing
of pleasure?
It's zero pleasure.
It's like buying a car which has to be serviced 5 or 6 times a day. Instead of only once a month, 20 bucks for 6 months.
Do you understand him?
No,
I don't know.
Okay.
What do I mean?
In New Zealand. I pick a lot of accents, you know, English accents, I understand a lot of accents. Even the southern accent, you know, from Mississippi, I understand. I just can't.
The body's fault. Oh. As usual.
Yeah, but that doesn't help us, you know. I mean, he thinks his body is old, you know, so he doesn't care about it. He just waits for the new body to come. And the moment he's 15 or 20 again, you know, then he feels, you know, it's like a new Christmas, huh? I mean, of course, it's so easy, you know, the moment the body gets breaks up, you know, to think about this body is there. But we still cling to it. I mean, we cling to it until we get rid of greed and hate. I mean, that's the truth. We will be reborn in this body, you know, until we get to the stage of anagami. And if you don't even get to the stage of sotapanna, you know, there's an endless. There's no endless. Yeah, gosh. I mean, it's the first time of work. It's the main work that is focused on in the in the forest tradition. Investigation of the body, investigation of the body, investigation of the body. When I came here, I didn't know that before. That's why I said, you know, when I came here to this monastery, I thought I'd never practice. And I was dumped into the investigation of the body. So I did that for 7 years, day in, day out. Yeah, I mean, you after 3 days, oh, I don't get any result. I mean, I skip it. I mean, even after 3 months, you know, you don't get any results. And then you go off because you think it doesn't work. I mean, you have to have a little bit of endurance. You have to have a little bit of patience, huh? I mean, 7 years, every day the same thing, huh? Can you do that? No.
Sure, I could. But I haven't yet.
Yeah, you have your doubts that it works. Of course, you know, we can say it. You know, it's easy to say. You know, you can do it, huh? And just look at your life. I mean, I just want you to look at your life. How often were you discouraged? Or how soon were you discouraged from doing something? If it didn't get the result, you gave it up, huh? Isn't it? That's what we normally do. We give it up. It doesn't bring immediate results, so we give it up. Isn't it? Or we try to find something new. Well, that cannot be true. But when you look at the suttas, you know, the Lord Buddha was teaching about our sutta. I mean, when he talked about Asupa, you know, it wasn't like I was talking about it. He was talking to an assembly of 500 monks to them that came in the evening. And the next morning he asked them, Ananda, where are these 500 bhikkhus? Oh, they were so disgusted they all killed themselves. It's in the middle length saying, if you want to read it, you know, go ahead and read it. If you don't believe. I mean, why did he bring, you know, why did he bring one of the bhikkhus, you know, to the corpse of one of these very beautiful prostitutes that were dying? Look at it, you know. Who wants it? You know, he asked the question of the lay people and the bhikkhus, you know, I give you 1,000 rupees, you know, if you want, you know, take this body. What? Huh? It was already rotten and smelling, eh? Nobody wanted it then. But before he said, you know, you gave 1,000 rupees, you know, to get for a night this body, eh? And now you don't want it anymore. What's the difference? Isn't it in the sutta? Yeah, of course it is. But of course we like to read only the nice things, eh? I mean, he enters the first jhana, then he enters the second jhana, then the third jhana, and the fourth jhana. He reflects upon his previous lives, and then he's enlightened. I mean, that's the easy way out. I haven't actually seen anybody who can do it this way.
I think it's easy to get disparaged at a point quite precluded from sensual pleasure.
I mean, the pleasures are coming in all the time, huh? You know, if we are get discouraged, you know, that is the work. That is actually the purpose of doing all these things. Of doing the investigation of the body, you know, to get discouraged of the pleasures that the body gives us. I mean, do I look like a frustrated monk, you know, 14 years without sex, huh? I mean, I must be completely frustrated. If I wouldn't have a way, you know, to get rid of these sexual desires. I mean, when does it come up, you know, for you? You know, just ask yourself. And can you hold it back? Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Well, when I think of women, I just think of severe, painful feelings.
Yeah, that helps us for a while. I mean, you know, you just slice up that woman, you know, and you don't have any feelings at all. I mean, when lust crossed my mind, you know, I just, you know, took that woman apart, you know. And if I had an erection immediately, the erection went down. The moment it saw, you know, the lust saw, you know, this ugly, you know, the interior, the bloody mess of this interior body, I mean, all the lust was gone. The moment the picture, you know, was turned over and become a beautiful woman again, you know, and that lust came again. I mean, that's how it works. That's why we use a super, you know, to break down the sensual desires. It's the same with music, you know, with visual sights, or with audio. I mean, you break it down into noising, you know, you don't want to listen to it anymore. But the moment, you know, you're induced by this kind of music, you know, of course, you know, the desire comes up. So you break it off, you know, and just, you know, make it a noise that you don't want to hear. I mean, there are six senses that we have in this body. And that's why the body is such a hard part. If it would be just this mess of blood and sinews and bones and pus and blood, I mean, nobody would take it. But it comes with the six senses. That's what the problem lies. It comes with the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the touch, and the thinking. And that's what we go after. So we have to destroy. We have to destroy the pot where the plant of greed and hate are rooted into. I mean, the moment we destroy the pot, you know, this tree cannot grow anymore. It will dry up. And the pot is this body. I mean, once we destroy this body, I mean, not in a physical sense, in our illusional sense, because we have an illusion about this body. I mean, greed and hate cannot grow anymore. And that's the whole purpose of investigation. I mean, if you believe it or not, yeah, that's up to you. But all the meditation masters here in Thailand went through. And when you look at this century, it's only the only century, you know, where there more than 100 or 200 arahants in one country. Are they enclosing countries, Burma and Laos and Cambodia? And the rest of the world is undercivilized. It's just uneducated. I mean, it just tells you something, you know. If within a country, you know, so many Arahants arrive, within a century, or within 50 years, actually it was 50 years. I mean, it just let us know that the way is still there. The way is still open. And the way of the forest tradition is the way of samadhi, sila, samadhi, and panya. It has nothing to do with rites and rituals. I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to follow this, I have to follow that. No, no, nothing. Just like the Lord Buddha teaches, go up in the forest, you know, just alone, by yourself. I mean, you're just alone by yourself. I mean, for a week you enjoy it, but the second week you get afraid, and the third week you get crazy. There's nobody to talk to, nobody to refer to. I mean, you talk to trees, huh? I mean, that's what the Lord Buddha, you know, advised his bhikkhus. There are the opens, there are the trees, there is the forest, there are the caves, there are the cliffs, there are the hills. That's the place where you should exert yourself. Exert, huh? And not in groups. alone. Isn't that what this forest tradition did? Just exactly the way of the Lord Buddha. They went out into the forest just by themselves, you know, and tried to exert themselves in the practice of samadhi and panya. But because sila wasn't their topic. I mean, you can get it in your luxury apartment. I mean, I wonder. I really wonder. Or people, you know, just go to a meditation course for a month. Oh, now I'm doing a 3 month meditation with you. Huh? I must get enlightened by that. I mean, people came, you know, with these ideas. Huh? Within 7 months, I'll do it 7 months, you know, because the Lord Buddha said, who has sati, you know, for 7 days and 7 nights without fail, you know, can it get enlightenment within 7 days? If its awareness is not so strong, then within 7 weeks or 7 months or 7 years or 7 lifetimes. Huh? Depends just on the grade of our awareness. So when some people even come here, you know, I do it 7 months, you know, my sati should be good enough. And after the 7 months they realize they haven't gained a thing. It's not that easy. Huh? Awareness is the key to the practice. Being aware of what is coming into the mind, what is coming into the chitta. And instantly, you know, when we do samadhi, instantly replace it with the Buddha or with the breath. Or when we do investigation, you know, instantly replace it back with the object of investigation. Be aware of the feeling coming in. Be aware of the memory coming in. Be aware. Be aware of the precept, actually. That is where our sati is strong. We know what kind of thought is, in what kind of direction this thought will go. It hasn't even thought. Be aware of the precept. It just tells us this direction. And then I say no. And then the thought doesn't arise. That's sati. Sati is being aware of everything that comes into contact with the chitta. And just remind yourself, the Lord Buddha said, you know, there are 3,000 mind moments within a blink of an eye. So we have to be aware of these 3,000 mind moments to catch everything. That's where mindfulness comes. And when you have this mindfulness, then of course, no problem, you can do it within 7 days. But within a minute, we catch only one moment. Isn't it? Or sometimes even 15 minutes, you know, before we catch a moment. Because the mind trailed off. Big, beautiful pink clouds. You understand that? I mean, the importance of sati, you really understand that. That is the key to enlightenment. It's one of the enlightenment factors. And we train the sati with our samadhi, you know, practicing of Buddha or the tip of the nose. I mean, I want to be aware, you know, the moment the breath comes in. I want to be aware. Is it a long breath? Is it a short breath? Is it a deep breath? Or is it a shallow breath? We don't have to think about it, we know. The moment it touches, we know it. And who knows it? The chitta knows it. Because it has known everything already all along together. Forever. That's how we get at the chitta. It's the same with the Buddha. The moment Buddha becomes automatic, you know, we listen to the Buddha. That's how we get to the knowing faculty of the chitta. And that's how we can get one-pointed. Sorry, there's no other way.
Does it matter if the Buddha is long or short?
It doesn't matter if it's long or short. It's the same thing with the breath. It doesn't matter if it's shallow or deep. I mean, we get fooled, you know, when the breath becomes, you know, very subtle. The next moment, you can be, it cannot be rising up, you know, just like hell. Because one of the unconscious feelings came up and, you know, rising your breath. And we were not aware of it. So it really doesn't matter. We just We just want to know. I mean, that is the key to sati. We just want to know. If the breath is deep, if the breath is shallow, if the Buddha is fast, or if the Buddha is long. If the Buddha is deep, or if the Buddha is shallow. If the Buddha is long or short. Doesn't matter. We just want to know. But we have our expectation that the Buddha must become very slow and very deep, yeah? And that's what we're looking for. And that's where we don't do our work. Huh? If we would do our work, you know, the results just come by themselves. It doesn't matter if it's very hard, you know, we have to go through.
I look very, very hard, Ajahn.
Huh?
I do look very hard.
Good. Then you will get results. But, you know, some people are working very hard, you know, pressing. But that actually all results is in habit.
Sorry?
It all results in habit. By pushing. It's not the way of pushing. It's a way of bringing the mind back. I mean, that's very gentle. Just bring it back.
I think a very heavy hand.
I mean, it can be a time where the mind or the chitta is really obnoxious, and then we push for 15 minutes, okay? Just to get rid of this obnoxiousness, you know? Sometimes it can happen, you know? But then we have to relax and listen and go into it, and, you know, go with the flow, you know? Swim with the current. Yeah.
So when the chitta is with the Buddha, we just leave it alone, just watch it.
Yes.
No ether at all.
Yeah. That's right. You got it.
Right now I'm sitting. I just casually walking, the Buddha is asleep. But once I step on my path, I don't know.
Well, investigate what is happening. When you sit, when you get up from your sitting and go to the walking path, what is happening? What kind of thoughts come in? What kind of memories are coming in? You have to observe it. Not say what.
It has nothing to do with the khandhas, I know, because I walk, I'm very much aware. Usually when I walk for 4 or 5 hours, the first 2 hours is very hard because the sankhara will trigger off. After some time then I catch it.
Okay.
But after some time it settles.
Yeah.
By the 3rd hour,
mm-hmm.
I could cut it off pretty fast. Some will cut off, some will cut off. You know, cut fast.
Mm-hmm.
But the buddho is not distinct. I can't.
But what is distinct? I mean, then you probably are in sort of samadhi.
How could I when there is a lot of I mean, samadhi.
What is this there? What is there? What is left then?
You know, there are certain days when I walk, I felt very good because the Buddha is very clear, you know. Even by walk, I do washing, because you try to do Buddha all the time, right? So Buddha, then I sometimes to tell myself, think only Buddha, to reinforce that to Buddha, Buddha. But once I step on the path, I notice the very moment I step on the path, the Buddha quality change.
Yeah, okay, just observe it. I mean, if you understand, you know, we are there to observe the Buddha. It doesn't matter if it changes.
And then my problem is that when it changed, I could not hear my Buddha so distinct, and it's very soft.
Mm-hmm.
Very soft.
Mm-hmm.
But when I stepped off my path, just now that you were talking, and the Buddha, where you stick this thing, you know, Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. So what happened now?
Yeah. Well, look, you have to look what is happening.
It sounds to me like...
I don't interpret what is other people, you know. I only want your own experience.
Okay.
Not what you know, what other people experience sound to you. You know, I'm not interested.
Okay. When that kind of thing happens to me, it's like that's when, you know, like when it starts first, I just follow the flow. But it's like it takes me into samadhi. And I was, if I just let it, don't care, and just follow it, and let it change however it wants to.
Yeah?
I thought I'm in samadhi, and that. I thought. Oh.
maybe. So, and when nowadays, when I walk Ajahn, I do 4 or 5 hours non-stop, you know.
I mean, what is happening, you know, when I walk for 3 hours, you know, the mind becomes so solid, you know, I completely lost, you know, that's just walking. I mean, I don't even know that I'm walking. That's just walking. I mean, it's an amazing state. You just walk up and down, walk up and down, you know, but there's nobody there anymore. That is when you do walking meditation and enter samadhi. There's nobody there. I mean, that's all automatically. And how does it automatically? Because we installed it. It's just like the Buddha. Until the Buddha becomes automatic, you know, then it comes out by itself. And that's why it's the use of mantras.
I did mention when I went back to last retreat, and then after a few days, I could hear it, but I was...
It doesn't matter what happened in the past, you know, it just matters what happens right now. I mean, you know, I'll give you until Friday, you know, just observe it. I mean, just be more mindful. Just tell yourself the moment you get up, the moment you make the decision to get up, ask yourself, why do I want to get up? Some unpleasant feelings that could get us up. And then don't give in to these unpleasant feelings and sit longer. And the next time, you know, when you really decide to get up, you know, then know why you get up, you know, and know what is happening. I mean, there are so many things happening, you know, until you you touch your walking path. And that will tell you what is happening. I mean, you don't have to ask me what is happening. I don't know what is happening.
Well, sometimes I was trying to observe, but I couldn't get it, you know, a period of time, it's like,
It really, you have to observe what is better for you. Now, if you sit in meditation, it's better, you get much more concentrated, like just like mine. You know, I just do walking, you know, for relaxing the body. And mostly I do sitting meditation.
Yeah, I walk better.
Yeah, so, okay.